The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
Yep, it does.
Totally settles in your soul.
It does.
This is Jefferson State of Mind, M-I-N-E. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Terry.
Ashley, our wonderful producer. How are you, my dear?
Good. My sister's gender reveal party is today, so I'm on Team Blue, so that's why I'm wearing my blue shirt.
Do you know what?
I'm guessing your sister's a girl. I don't want to spoil the spoiler.
Hey, Ashley, guess what? We're having one of those at our house today, too.
Really? Congratulations.
Yes, for my son and daughter-in-law.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
We're going to have to compare notes next week.
It's either boots or bows. We're not sure.
We are also here with Chris Kellstrom, who is running for supervisor for District 5. We're broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. KCNR1460.com, if you want to listen to it online, listen to this program, and also we archive forever. If you have a question for Chris, 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about you, Terry?
I'm doing good. How goes the battle, man?
It's all right. It's all right. Collecting signatures right now to get on the ballot and promoting the fundraiser. So, you know, fun never ends.
Now, how many signatures do you need?
So you have to have 20 verified signatures to get on the ballot. If you get 1,100 signatures, then you don't have to pay a filing fee. So 1,100, then you want to get 2,000 to make sure that you have enough. I really don't have time to get 2,000 signatures, so I'm looking for about 30 of them, maybe 40, and call it good. At this point, I have more time or more money than time. Which is unusual, because I usually don't have any money either, so.
Well, you are one of us.
Sometimes you just got to do it, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, we have some interesting news this week. It looks like Leonard Mone is going to be no longer.
Really?
A what supervisor.
Happened? You mean he quit?
Not just a supervisor. He's a chairman of the board. He's no longer going to be that either.
Well, let's hope not. Let's hope that he isn't chairman of the board on the 8th. The right thing to do would be for them to actually ask him to step down. That'd be the right thing to do, but we'll see.
Well, Tim Garmon's ahead by, I think, 200 points, so right. The 121 ballot still out there isn't going to make a difference. Leonard Modi's down by 1,000 votes, so the 121 ballots out there isn't going to make a difference. So, yeah, well, why are we doing this? But, you know, whatever. I think we all know why we're doing this. But
he lost by double digits.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that tells you something. It's not like a 3%, you know, 3 plus or minus where it's, you know, disputable.
Right.
It's double digits.
Yeah, although they certainly wanted to make it look like it was going to be closer at the beginning of the night, election night.
Yeah.
And I'm still wondering how KRCR got the results before the registrar's office released them. I would still love somebody to answer me that question.
Well, I was there.
I was too.
When they were releasing all that information, well, this was on Tuesday night. When I was there, they were standing at the bottom of the stairs. That's where the media was standing when Kathy was giving all the information.
Okay, so she gave it verbally before it was posted?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Well, hey, there you go. That answered my question.
I just happened to be standing there when she was talking to him. I was like, okay, so I didn't move. I just stayed there.
Yeah, because everybody's looking at their smartphones and their computer screens, and it's like 811 KRCR says that Modi's ahead and 50.39% by 49.61, whatever it was. And then 9 minutes later, the registrar's office released the numbers, and they were exactly the same. And I'm like, how does that work? How does the news station get it 15 minutes? You know, 9 minutes, released at 9 minutes early, so which you have to have 5 or 6 minutes to write a story, I would think.
Right.
So
right.
It's like, how did they get it 15 minutes earlier than everybody else?
Yeah. Well, and I'm not sure how that played into it, but I know when she told everybody – We were all standing right there at the on the bottom floor, right there by the stairwell and the little gate thing. And I was on one side of the gate, and the media was on the other side, and I just happened to be standing in that spot when she was talking, so I just kind of...
You don't remember what time that was, I don't suppose.
It was right around 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, all because... Right.
As soon as the polls closed, then she released... said the numbers.
Okay. Yeah, because they hadn't even received anything yet from any of the polls. I mean, physically, the ballots coming in, they haven't received those yet. But what they do is they print out it looks like a receipt from each polling location.
Gotcha.
And then someone, I'm assuming, from each polling location is responsible to get that to somebody in that office so they can go through and do a quick tabulation. Because one of our people was actually receiving photocopies of those receipts, if you will. Because by law, I guess they have to post them on the door when they leave.
Well, that's cool. There's a big question answered.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of bothered me a little bit. I'm like, how in the world does the news media get it beforehand? So,
yeah.
Okay, well, good. That answered the question.
Good, good.
Fantastic.
So, Chris, running for supervisor, you know, that's a big step. It's a big step in your life. What was it that prompted you to do it? What was the reasoning for saying you wanted to take this job on?
Well, so 8 years ago, everybody in this room right here was working on a certain movement here in town, and Les Ball was up for re-election and couldn't get off the fence or didn't want to jump off the fence, and finally did jump off the fence and said that he would support our movement and let us do a presentation and he would vote for it. And as soon as he got elected, he went in there, no presentation, put it on the agenda, though, I'll give him that, and then listened to 45 people speak on behalf of the movement and then said, nope, he's going to vote against it. And not only is he going to vote against it, but it was raised that it would never be talked about again. He seconded the motion and voted to never even talk about it again. So at that point, I was like, you know what, I will do anything to get this guy out of office. So 4 years later, a good friend of mine was running against him. I tried to help her and, you know, did a little bit to help her, whatever I could, and didn't quite make it. So at this point, I'm like, I'm just tired of waiting for somebody else to do the right thing. I mean, I'm just tired of sitting on the sidelines, electing people that sound really good and say all the right things and, you know, are pretty good folks. About every 3.5 years, 6 months before an election, they do what they're supposed to be doing, and then they get elected and do what they want to do for 3.5 years and then do the thing again. So I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of the whole thing. It's like I'm tired of waiting for the right person to step forward and do the right thing. So, you know, for evil to triumph, good men must do nothing.
You know, when you were talking about the State of Jefferson movement, and I can remember then I was just getting to know you, and I'd known you before then, but really getting to know you during that time. And the one thing I did notice is that you're the kind of guy who starts a job and finishes it.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I mean, you know, pretty much when you set your mind to do something, you get it done, you follow through on it, you're reliable and dependable. And I think that's something that a lot of people who run for office don't have that attribute, to where they're going to follow through and follow up on exactly what they say and what they mean. But I can say from personal experience, I know that when you say you're going to do something, you're going to stand for something, you will. What do you think is the most important thing in District 5 and then Shasta County that you can that you would like to see change, or you would like to see fixed, or you would like to see happen?
Well, we've got to get this crime under control. We've got to get a bigger jail or a new jail or another jail, whatever it takes. I mean, you know, either go up some more floors than the one we've got. We've got an awful lot of buildings around here that are empty. You know, I talked to a fencing contractor, I think it was last week or the weekend before. It's like, hey, you know, let's take that Shopko building, throw a fence thing around it and some bars on the windows. I mean, get a holding cell, something. We can't just keep ignoring this crime that goes on and on and on. I mean, at this point, people don't even bother to call the police when their, you know, the car gets broken into or the house gets broken into, or it's like, what's the point? I was delivering to a store here about 2 years ago, and a car gets stolen out of the parking lot. One of the employees gets cars get stolen out of the parking lot. It was the second time in 2 weeks that his car had been stolen, and he called the Reading police, and they said, okay, if you want a report, come on down to the police station and pick one up for your insurance. They didn't even send a cop car out. It's not even worth sending a police car out to write a report on a stolen car, and it's like, are you kidding me? How did we get to this point, you know? Back in the day, you know, 35 years ago, 34 years ago, I was managing a store down in Anderson at the ripe old age of 19 years old. Now, back in those days, you know, 87, I'd say, if we got a shoplifter, first thing you did is, you know, ask them if they had any money on them. If they had no money on them and they had come in and stolen a piece of candy, whatever it was, that's a felony. That was intent. If you had no money, there's no reason to go in a grocery store. And if you went in a grocery store and stole something with no way of paying for it, that was considered burglary and it was a felony. You know, a candy bar was a felony. Now you can walk into a store, fill up a cart with $949.99 worth of stuff, walk out the door, and if there's a cop waiting for you on the other side of the door, it's a misdemeanor. You know, you get a ticket. I mean, it's ridiculous. And if you have $950 worth of stuff or, you know, $1,000 or whatever, and it actually is a misdemeanor where it's an arrestable offense, they probably won't even bother to haul you to the jail. If they do, they just book you in and let you right back out the back door. You're not going to go to jail for property crime in this county right now, and that is ridiculous. Absolutely.
You know, it's sad because the police have really become ineffectual in a lot of cases, and that's not a slam on the police. It's just their job has been marginalized to a point to where they don't have any kind of teeth or jurisdiction. So what do you think that, along with crime, what do you think is one of the main things in your district, in District 5, if I were to live there, what would be some of the things you'd look at in your district and say, hey, these are some real pressing needs we need here?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we need to stop running off jobs. We need to stop running off manufacturing. We need to stop, you know, making it so impossible. I have a friend of mine that bought one of the old buildings in downtown Cottonwood. You know, he'd been kind of making moonshine as a little bit of a hobby. He wanted to go and legitimize it and go through all the hoops and jump through all the hoops, which, if you can imagine how many hoops you have to jump through to make some moonshine, I asked him, I said, what's that like? He goes, well, my 3-year-old daughter had to get fingerprinted by the FBI, if that tells you anything, you know. So he did. He jumped through all the hoops. He did everything he could. He's doing all this stuff. He's actually trying to bring a manufacturing product to our county, right to Cottonwood, and the county stopped him. Oh, he needed to knock out a wall or he needed to do something, and they stopped the entire thing. You know, so now he has a building that he's just running out for, you know, a retail establishment or whatever. He can't open the business that he planned on opening. He spent all this money. I mean, he's planning on spending more money. He's planning on you know, buying materials here in Shasta County. He's buying lumber, buying, you know, all sorts of stuff, spending money here in the county. And he stopped by the county because, you know, some little loophole, red tape, something has stopped the entire project. So that's got to stop.
We do have a caller on the line. Steve, what say you?
Chris, congratulations, bud. I support you 100%. You were up here doing a couple of fundraisers with us.
I'll be back in April.
Mighty big help, yeah. I thought you would be.
Yep.
Hey, congratulations to you all getting Modi out of there. You guys were, you know, you're the forefront of what the rest of the county should be doing. But the thing we got to do is tell the state to take a hike because it is tyranny. And the cities run the state. The cities were here before the state. I know that's a really big job, but we've got to start the language somewhere and start pushing forward to eliminate the state from telling us, you know, everything that the supervisors have to deal with is state stuff that's handed down by the state for them to deal with it, and so they can never get anything done locally, typically. You know, the cities and the counties are inundated with all the state stuff, and we don't live that way. So we hold our money back from the state. We got 23 counties that are state of Jefferson, supposedly we did have at one time. But we got to start taking some serious action because the stuff up in Ottawa, is going to get really hairy because they're not listening to the people. They're starting to bring in the police, and there's going to be some hairy stuff come down, and that's going to filter all the way down through all of our counties and cities. So thanks for your time, and Chris, I support you 100%. You guys are great.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
And reminder, Steve is from Siskiyou County, and good supporter of everything, you know, patriotic down here.
Which, by the way, I was talking to a peep up in Siskiyou County yesterday, matter of fact. You know her well, Louise. And she was congratulating us on Modi and recalling the thing. So, and actually in somebody in Tehama County, too, that you know well. And Tehama County's having some issues. So I said, hey, do you need some help? you know, let us know. We'll give you the blueprint, so to speak, and let you know what's going on. And I had asked Louise, I said, do you guys need, and I thought they had a pretty good board up there. I said, do you guys need help up there in Siskiyou County? She says, no, our board's good. Our board's really good. She says, but the Health and Human Service Director, that's where we need help from. And I'm like, well, okay, wait a minute. Maybe your board isn't that great because they have the power to hire and fire that person. So I don't know who that person is, but, you know, if you have a board of supervisors and you have a department that is a big problem and causing your county problems, well, guess what? Your board isn't as sound as you think they are.
Right.
Because they have the power to bring that person in and, you know, they have the power to take that job away. And you know, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but I would certainly not be afraid to bring in a department head and say, listen, we've got some issues. Let's straighten them up. If we can't straighten them up, we'll find somebody that will straighten them up.
That's right.
You know, real simple.
You have to have the dialogue.
Yeah.
If you don't have the dialogue, then what's the point?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just sit there and say, oh, my hands are tied. You know, gosh, she's doing or he's doing, you know, not a very good job. And, you know, but golly gee, vote for me again.
Yeah.
You know, no. That's where it's got
to
stop.
Yeah. That seems to be running rampant through a lot of the counties. But, you know, Steve brought up a good point. And you just brought up a great point, Chris, and that is you have jurisdiction, interposition, and nullification.
Yep.
You have to have the jurisdiction over something. There are some things we have jurisdiction over in the county, and supervisors have jurisdiction over, such as being able to hire whoever the head of Health and Human Services is. We have to have that department, but the Board of Supervisors has the power to pick and choose who they want. And again, it's the type of thing where, you know, what can we do? We have to think outside the box. We've talked about maybe holding back the property taxes. Another thing that we need to have done, and I know my partner here is really passionate on this, as we're all thankful that Wynn is, and that is, the forensic audit. What say you about the forensic audit?
Oh yeah, I'd definitely love to know where every penny of that $600 million went. I mean, I want to know where it goes. Some of it's going to be spent judiciously and correctly, and who knows? It's possibly every penny is. I somehow doubt that, but it's possible. So yeah, let's go ahead and take a look. Let's get a somebody else in there that, you know, isn't tied to Shasta County that can just take an independent look at it and go through there and see where our money's going. Because $600 million, and then you keep telling people, hey, you know, your car got broken into, but the jail's full, so there's nothing we can do. Well, $600 million, I bet you I can find a few million dollars where there's something we can do. I'm almost guarantee it. So,
but the jail is never full. That's always the story they give us anyway. The jail's full or we're at capacity.
90% capacity.
We're at capacity. Okay, well, then it's not full. If they're at 90%, they're not full. Fill it up, and if you have to hot bunk them or if you have to double, triple them up, guess what? That's part of the penalty.
And I had brought that to Basenko's attention about 5 years ago. I said, you know, I worked nights for many, many years over the course of my career. There was several years where I worked nights. And then there was about 12 years I worked for an industry that where I was going into the stores at 3 o'clock in the morning to start my day, and I would see the entire night crews in the stores. And it's like, you know, I said, Tom, I said, you have cops that work nights. There's nurses, there's doctors, there's store personnel. I mean, I work nights for many years. You got to do what you got to do to feed your family. And I said, why is it that you could double the capacity of the jail, put them on two shifts. You're not increasing the labor that, I mean, it's not like the guards go home at night. This isn't Mayberry. They don't go home at night. You know, there's still guards there all night long. So why couldn't you have half the prisoners on the night shift and half the prisoners on the day shift? You could double the population in the jail. Well, that's called hot bunking and we'd get sued. And I'm thinking, okay, that's an easy answer. We'd get sued. Well, guess what? State of California passes unconstitutional gun laws all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still in effect while it goes through the court system. And sometimes when it goes through the court system and they're found to be unconstitutional, they still say, we don't really care, and we're going to continue to obey right. these gun laws that we've passed that are now deemed unconstitutional. So I'm thinking, let's go ahead, solve our problem for now. If that's what we need to do, solve our problem. Hot bunk them, double the capacity, clean up the streets, get some of this crime, make it a penalty for doing the wrong thing. Let it go through the court system. If come to find out that we were wrong and you can't do that and the ACLU sues us or whatever, fine. We've solved our problem for 3 years. Now let's work on another solution. But I mean, you got to do something, think outside the box. You can't just sit there and tell all of your constituents and everybody in Shasta County, hey, sorry, jail's full, 90% capacity, nothing we can do. Sorry, jail's full, 90% capacity, nothing we can do.
Right.
You know, you got to do something.
We do have a caller on the line. Mark. Mark Baird?
Hello. Yep.
Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. We're here with Chris. He was just segueing into talking about the Second Amendment.
Let me make a comment about the jail first.
Go for it.
Experience with that. Most of the prisoners in jail are awaiting their court dispositions. I mean, once a case has been disposed of in court, then the guy either goes to prison or he starts doing his county time or he gets his probation or whatever. So oftentimes the jail is jammed up with people that are still waiting for their court. And if the courts would do their job, meaning the district attorney and the judges that are also elected officials in Superior Court anyway, if they would do their jobs, the jails would empty faster.
Yeah, and
there's that as well.
I don't know if those are the most highest security risks either. I mean, so do they need to be in a, you know, maximum security, so to speak, jail, or could they be in another holding facility somewhere?
Well, that's a matter for the people to decide, but you're absolutely right. There are solutions that are present. The state mandates a lot of that stuff, and the state will withhold all the money that belongs to you that you give them to start with if you don't dance to their tune, and these guys are always on the edge of the razor trying to figure out which way to go money-wise, but that's something I think that supervisors have some power over, and certainly if counties stood together on that against state mandates, then that could change as well, and the rural counties outnumber the urban counties, but we don't have the representation in Sacramento to do anything about these things, which goes back to Jefferson again.
So do you think building a courthouse that's the same size as the current courthouse across the street is going to help that at all, Mark? Or think maybe we should have built a bigger courthouse. I mean, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the courthouse could be 9,000 stories, and they still, you know, if the people in it aren't doing their jobs, then it doesn't really matter much. But I know in our case, the jail's always full because the courts don't do their jobs.
Amen.
So let them go, and then they can steal the same car twice in a week, and let them go, and then they can kill another person. But then again, when you live in a state that values illegal aliens more than they value their own citizens, that's kind of, you know, gosh, gee, go figure.
So, yep.
And that brings up, the Second Amendment, because government has no duty and no responsibility to protect you from crime or violence or anything else, and they don't do it, obviously, and just look at the crime in your backyard and the crime in our backyard, and you'll see that. They couldn't do it even if they wanted to, but they don't want to. I mean, you steal a car, and the guy says, oh, you can come to the police station and file a report and pick up a report for your insurance? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so the police have a general duty to protect society at large, and they're not even doing that. I mean, and then the state of California says that they've given all authority to police chiefs and sheriffs to decide who can and who cannot carry a weapon in the state of California. And these are the very agencies that are failing to protect you from crime and violence every single day. Well, how is that going to work out?
Which, unlike what Terry alluded to earlier, too, and you know, no, it's not a bash to the cops, because, I mean, can you imagine doing your job every day, you know, right here in a radio station, you do an hour-long radio station, and then every single time you get done, they go, oh, we're not going to play that one. Come in next week. You know, oh, we're not going to play that one. We're going to can't. I mean, can you imagine doing your job every day and for absolutely no results at the end of the day? Not to mention putting your life online.
I've been in that position where we brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases to the courts, and they didn't prosecute any of them.
Yep.
And I'm sitting there on a chair talking to a guy who's been in that business for almost 40 years, and he looks me right in the eye and he says, I feel like my whole life has been a waste.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to have to go off to our break, Mark. If you would like to hold on, that'd be great.
Okay.
And, yeah, so our guest here is Chris Kellstrom. If you have a question for him, 605-4567, 530-605-4567. The time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen. California rain, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow.
Explore your world right from home with Turtle Bay TV.
Daintree is a jungle carpet python.
Featuring free educational and distance learning content for a virtual experience the whole family will enjoy.
Welcome to the vault.
Start streaming now at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
There's more to explore with a Turtle Bay membership. Get unlimited access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and beyond. Family memberships are only $90 a year. That's less than $8 a month for a whole year of fun. Join today at turtlebay.org.
She broke down and let me in.
Never going back again. It does. There's a supervisor ain't going back again. Well, you're never going back again.
A lot of those folks, you know, when they get found out and things happen, they end up moving to, I don't know, Idaho, Utah, Montana, Texas, Nevada. They move somewhere else, and that's okay.
Well, they take their big retirement, and they go to a state that doesn't have taxation on the retirements.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they can hold their heads high proudly over there, wherever they may be, because they're former whatever they are.
Absolutely.
And so they go do that, so because they can't do that here any longer.
Yeah. And when they're in their new town, if they look up the media reports from their old town to see what actually happened, well, they're still a hero because our media is questionable.
Non-existent.
Anyway, we are here with Chris Kellstrom, who's running for supervisor for District 5. And we've got Mark Baird on the phone. And during the break, we were talking about fiscal responsibility when it comes to the DA's office. And we just talked, you two gentlemen just discussed the fact that a lot of crimes go unpunished, and they go through a process that is, you know, a get out of jail free card and everything. Yet Shasta County did throw more than $500,000 at Carlos Zapata, who is convicted of a very low level infraction. What say you, Mark, about fiscal responsibility of some of these DA offices? And then we want to get Chris's response on what he thinks we should do locally as far as having a better eye on what the DA's office does.
Well, I think the act itself speaks for itself, and I think Chris obviously knows that. And by the way, I support Chris 100%, and I'm familiar with him. I consider him my friend, and he's not only a stand-up guy, but I remember when we used to go to your meeting sometimes there and speak, and Chris was in charge of educating people about what's in the Constitution, what the rule book says, how government should behave, what's the proper role of government, when is government acting within its authority and when is government acting outside its authority. So I'll tell you what, you got a good man in Chris, and I'm going to sign off because I don't want to steal the thunder, and I want him to have the time to talk about the things that are near and dear to your hearts in Shasta County. But I fully support Chris. I hope everyone does. And you have an opportunity here, folks. You can clean up that board, and you can get a majority of constitutional thinkers on that board of supervisors and do some great things. So don't blow it. Vote for Chris and clean up the town.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate those kind words, and I consider you a friend too, my good friend.
He's absolutely.
Well, God bless you. Good luck.
Thank you, Mark. And he's absolutely right. You know, everything he said is absolutely right, spot on. By the way, you have something coming up in a week or so.
I do, next Saturday. It's going to be a kind of a recall after party and a fundraiser for myself. So there's going to be quite a few people there, good folks. I have both Dale Ball and Tim Garmin will be there. Had them both decide to go there, you know, whichever one was going to win. I'm going to have them both speak a little bit, you know, after dinner probably. Both of those guys were, they were both top notch, very respectful, ran good, clean races, remained friends throughout the whole thing, no mudslinging. They were great guys. So Dale was winning at first, and then Tim Garmin passed him up there towards the end. So I had planned on having whoever won speak, but I'm actually going to have both of them speak. Brian Caples, who's running for superintendent of schools, he will be there also. Kevin Cry will be there. And the last guy that ran in a sheriff's election in this town, other than Tom Basenko, he will also be there. John Green said that he will be there.
Oh, that'll be great. So. I think that, you know, a lot of things, I mean, I think Sheriff Johnson's, you know, he's out there doing what he's doing. But, you know, really and truly, again, I go back to when a sheriff tells me they're a Second Amendment proponent and they believe in the right of the Second Amendment, and then the next thing out of their mouth is, however, I will not allow an exposed weapon. Well, how can you allow anything if it's a constitutionally protected right? We have someone on the phone here. Chris, do you have a question for Chris?
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Chris.
Yeah, I got a clear spot in my cloudy and well-fractured crystal ball about looking forward. And we know how things work in the booming metropolis of McConnellville. Leonard Modi is not going to be hurt at all because he's going to get some sort of sweetheart position, whether it's with the McConnell Foundation or Turtle Bay, just like they did Mike Warren and Blankenship. It's hush money.
But it won't be at taxpayer expense, so.
Well, if it's going to McConnell, we know it's coming out of the city.
Well, right? that's you got a point there.
Yeah, you think?
But I think he's going to get some, you watch, he'll be appointed to something just for hush money.
Hmm. Well, you know, I mean, is that what happened to Magrini? When Magrini,
did.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, he got a 36% raise from a guy that was so bad at the sheriff's department that people wouldn't even go up to the third floor and go to his office. We're talking about the captains, the sergeants, everyone that worked with him, and the Deputy Sheriff's Association. He actually got a vote of no confidence from both those organizations, and then he quits, and then he gets this miraculous new position. I don't, you know, to me, I think that people like that should just stay away from politics. Now, I did read a couple of different sources that said that Leonard Modi would be retiring from politics, and then also something to the effect that within the next couple of years he could be gone from Shasta County. And these were different people interviewing him.
I'll drive the U-Haul truck.
What did he say?
He'll drive their U-Haul truck.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any left in California anymore. You have to go pick it up.
Yeah, you have to go somewhere else to get one.
You've got
to
deliver them back here.
The thing is, Modi's been in this position, whether it's the city or the county, long enough. He has dirt, or he has compromised so many people, he can destroy so many families that are just innocently doing their job.
You mean like all those people that came out and backed him?
Yep.
I was wondering why they did that.
But I'm sure he's going to use that as leverage, and not a whole lot's going to change until we get another supervisor out of there, and hopefully it's Rickard.
Well, you know, there's scuttlebutt that she may even retire or quit. I mean, you know, she looked at Leonard, you know, looked up to him, always agreed with him. I mean, several times when he'd get up to go to the bathroom during meetings while people were speaking, she'd follow him out. So I'm not really sure what was going on there. But
capable of answering the question.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, that's the deal. So I, you know, if Mary, you know, if Mary does decide to retire, it probably wouldn't be the worst thing. You know, but I think that, I think Modi, I don't know, there's been rumors that he's not well, and I don't know. I'm not really saying that.
It isn't from the lack of food.
I was just going to say it's clearly not well.
Clearly not that.
Well, I will say that things are going to change, and they have changed already, and they're going to continue to change now.
I'm not trying to tarnish this recall.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing, but it's just the start.
Right. And I mean, right. And you may be right. He may go to one of those foundations or something, which, you know, again, he's not pulling the strings of power anymore. I did have a little bit of inside information that Joe Comente, actually, and I told everybody this, you know, I think Joe's attitude will change quite drastically if things shift on that board. You know, if there's a new leader, so to speak, to follow. And I did hear that somebody had reached out to him and said, hey, this $34 million with all the strings attached, that should not be voted on when you have a supervisor that's on his way out and a new supervisor on his way in. And from what I understood, from what I heard, again, all secondhand information, but that Joe agreed with that. So, and that is not on the agenda. That $34 right. million dollars is not on the agenda, so it cannot be voted on next Tuesday. So it looks like they're, you know, they're going to start to do the right things. And you're going to have 2.5 good solid votes on that board right now. I mean, Les Boss seems to be doing the right thing. Joe's not running again, so he's no longer as tied to his backers as he once was. He seems to be starting to do, you know, the right things. And again, the last time on the Hatchet Windmill Project, he backed his constituents and did what he was supposed to do. So, you know, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I think things definitely are drastically changing, and I think they'll continue to drastically change. And let's get this county and give it back to the people where it belongs to.
One other interesting point. Who is the latest and newest local reporter for KRCR?
I don't know. You tell me.
Sam Comente. It's Joe's son.
Hmm.
He's the local reporter now for KRCR.
Hmm. Okay.
That's interesting.
Cool. Good for him. That's good.
Yeah. See how he does.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said once, before, Mangus is used by date is long past. Other than that, I'll let you guys go. I love your show. Hang in there. Keep up the good fight.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Chris, on the chat room, there's people asking about Saturday's fundraiser.
Yes.
They're looking for more detail.
Okay. So it's going to be at the Anderson VFW. We're going to open the doors about 4 o'clock. Dinner will be at 6. Between 4 and 6, we'll have some games, lots of guns. We'll have some probably a 22 game where – we'll be giving away guns with every 22 cards that are sold. We'll have some cornhole games, which once again, we'll draw a ticket for a gun. We'll have lots of good prizes, lots of good raffle items. There'll be a really tall auctioneer during the live auction. some of you might recognize his voice because it's speaking right now. Again,
hope he does a better job.
I'll try. Well, you know, never took a lesson, never went to school, just got thrown into it one night, so I've been doing it ever since. But.
And the thing is, that night I was there when you started off, I was like, oh, here we go. And hey, you did great. And then the next event, and then the next event is like, this is just part of all these events that are put on. This is what you do.
And now I'm getting double booked, and I don't know. I guess it kind of stinks to be cheap, but, you know.
No, affordable. Affordable.
It's pretty cheap. So, yeah, we'll have a live auction. We'll have a dessert auction. We'll have a whole bunch of raffle prizes. And then, like I say, there's going to be a lot of people there as far as, you know, some up-and-coming political candidates, some past political candidates, and your new supervisor, District 2, will be there also. So it's going to be a good event. Like I say, Anderson VFW, Saturday night, 6 o'clock is dinner. Come early because there's going to be lots of stuff to do, lots of people to talk to. Dinner will be by Rockin' Peas Barbecue. We'll probably do the Santa Maria tri-tip and chicken dinner. Mm. So the tickets are $40 a piece. Buy a table of 8 for $300, and I'll throw in $200 in raffle tickets.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, so table of 8s, we're trying to sell those as much as possible. That's, you know, get your name out there. You get those to us early. You can pick up flyers and table buyer packages at Dill's Deli. Jones Fort, and Woody's Barbershop down in Cottonwood. So they all have the information. I can run it out to you personally, but in between working and gathering signatures and everything else I'm doing right now, it's going to be a little difficult for me. We are still looking for raffle donations, if you have some good raffle donations, I've been reached out today. I had a barbershop up in the city of Shasta Lake that reached out to me, and he wants to donate some barbershop certificates.
Nice.
Frankie out here in the office said his wife's going to work on a little quilt or a table runner or something, so raffle items are coming in. You know, you got a fishing trip or a golf outing or, you know, anything like that, that we would take it in a heartbeat, and yours truly will auction it off. So
we do have a caller on the line, Dick.
Hey, Chris, good luck with your election there.
Thanks, Dick.
Hey, you know what I was thinking, listen to you talk. I hope the other elected officials of the county are learning something from this recall, that they ignore the people week after week, month after month, and then make motions to shelve a certain item and not to be bought it up ever again is a bunch of nonsense. They don't want to listen to the people. I hope that they've learned something from this election, that they could be the next one out on the street.
I think there's a worldwide awakening going on right now, Dick, and it's happening here in Shasta County, but it's happening up in Canada, it's over in Australia, it's happening everywhere, but we can control the awakening right here in Shasta County, so, yeah.
Well, I'll be at your fundraiser, Chris.
Can't wait to see you, Dick. It wouldn't be the same without you.
Okay. Are you going to be the auctioneer? You're the best one I've ever
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing. It's,
yeah. I'll be there, Dick, for sure.
Okay, good luck again, Chris.
Thank you, Dick.
Well, unless Dick wants to do it.
Hey, we could.
Dick would be very entertaining.
Remember him torturing me at that one we did a couple of years ago where, I mean, I would say going once, going twice, and then he would raise his hand and like, come on, dude. I'm an amateur at this. You're making me work way too hard.
Yeah.
So
Dick likes to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Dick's a great guy. God, he's awesome.
Yeah, you know, as we go forward, I think that the idea of people understanding and maybe and getting to know you, as they should get to know all the supervisors. We talk about the supervisors being elected in their district, but they still are 20% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
So when you if you have a view or something that's amiable to the people and palatable to them, you have to support the good candidates we have, no matter what particular district they're in. Now, is Kevin Cry going to be at your event too?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Talked to him last night. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
he's running for District 1.
He's running for District 1.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Brian Cables will be there. He's running for superintendent.
Right.
And then, like I say, John Green's going to be there. I reached out to John Green the other day, and he's going to be there. And, you know, I have nothing against Sheriff Johnson now. I knew him when he was Chief Johnson. He seemed like an awful great guy. To be quite honest with you, if he was on a ballot, you know, depending on who he was going against, I would probably vote for him. If it was him or Basenko, for instance, I would have voted for him. If it was him or Mangrini, I probably would have voted for Chief Johnson. But I will say this, if I was on that Board of Supervisors, I would not have voted for him, because that's not how you elect a sheriff. I would have motioned for a special election, and I would have gotten a ballot out there, and I would have put him on a ballot, and I would have supported him on a ballot. You don't appoint a sheriff. You don't appoint a supervisor. You don't appoint a sheriff. These are elected positions, and you don't appoint them. And that's part of the problem with the good old boys network here in Shasta County, is you keep the seat warm for your buddy, and then you step out of the race at last minute so that it's an incumbent seat, and oh boy, the incumbent's gone, and now his buddy's in the seat. You know, the sheriff gets reelected and then steps down and hires his friend. That's how we do things. We used to do things. We need to stop that.
You know, I think when he took the position, meaning Sheriff Johnson, he took that position believing that he could make a change, and a lot of that change was supposed to be in what was going on with the illegal grows. You know, the getting a concealed carry permit is slower now than it was. I'm not talking about the last few weeks, because it has sped up a little bit. But when we had talked to Sheriff Johnson about getting a renewal, mm-hmm, after having your CCW, it was still 60 days. And so my question to him was, well, you know, if you're a law-abiding citizen and you've got to wait 60 days, and maybe you're transporting money and things like that for your business, really and truly, would they be breaking the law then? And he goes, well, technically, yes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, give me a break, man. Then it takes 30 days for the sacramental part. Well, then it should take 10 for yours, you know. And really and truly, to me, I haven't seen anything other than the fact that a lot of people say that Sheriff Johnson is really a nice guy. And I think he is a nice guy. But really and truly, John Green got 47% of the vote.
Yep.
Coming right out of the box against an incumbent who was very popular, which was Tom Basenko. And he got 47% of the vote and was never even considered by the Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
What say you, sir?
Yeah, and it's the same thing. And you know, and now, again, I like Chief Johnson. I don't want to bash Chief Johnson. I'm going to bash the process of how he got in there. You know, he got in there by 80% of the vote, but that was 4 out of 5 supervisors. So 80% of 5 people rather than 50 plus 1 of 200,000 people. And, you know, that's a problem. I mean, I heard yesterday, actually, I talked to somebody, a third party, that said that, you know, his reasoning, one of the things he said was he wanted to take it because he was afraid of who else might take it, and he wanted to make sure it was a good person. But the fact is, he answers to 4 people on that board. 4 people are the ones that put him there, and it's just like a special interest group. They're more important. They got him in that position. So those 4 people are more important than the 100,000 that would have had to vote for him to get there.
So you're telling me that, and by the way, it's Sheriff Johnson, because I've been corrected by calling him Chief before.
Well, I knew him as Chief.
Yeah,
so.
So did I. So.
And a sheriff is elected. So
yeah, that's true. Well, here's the deal. The deal is that 2 things. Number one, this man believes in the Second Amendment and is a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, but will not allow an exposed weapon. So he wouldn't ever be for open carry, even though he can give people in this county an open carry permit, a 26-150B2, because we're under 200,000, and according to California law, he could issue that. Now, that's 1. 2 is you're saying that he was concerned about who else is running. What business is that of his? The thing is if someone is running against you in a race, they have a right to run.
Well,
that's two things constitutionally that's bothered me about this guy. And it's not about his character, and it's not about whether he's a nice guy or not. It's not about, well, he was a good cop. He's probably a great cop. But how is he as an elected official and someone who's going to represent
him? He wasn't worried about who else was going to run. He was worried about who else was going to be appointed. So, again, and I'm not defending the whole thing at all whatsoever. Now, here's the thing. Open carry. Are the 4 people that put him in office, do they support open carry?
No.
Okay, well, then there you go. That is his base. That's who put him there. So if the people of Shasta County supported open carry, then, you know, we have a whole different argument here, because that's who should be electing him, and that's who he should be answering to. And, you know, quite frankly, I mean, maybe that's something that we need to put up to a vote. Maybe we need to you know, put something out there that we vote for that. If the people of Shasta County say, hey, we want open carry. And again, it's got to be explained to them. Open carry isn't 6 shooters on your hip down walking down Main Street,
no,
going to Taco Bell,
no,
you know, with a 6 shooter on your hip. It's the rancher with a gun in the back window of his pickup truck, which we used to have here all the time.
Or if you're going into the park and you see a lot of people who could be, you know, we see a lot of unsavory characters there, and you've got your grandkids with you, that open carry would be a deterrent for their coming close to you. But we do have a caller on the line, Nick. We've only got a couple of minutes left. What say you?
I got a quick question.
Okay.
Say John Green gets in as sheriff, and he okays open carry here in Shasta County. Would that be good for the rest of the state?
No.
Okay, well, that settles that.
Yeah, 26-150B2 is only good for the county you're in, but I mean, the county you're in, we could at least keep the home fires safe.
It would
I'm with you.
It'd be very safe.
I was just curious about that, because they recognize our concealed carry.
Yes.
And I know it's kind of funny because cops open carry because it's a deterrent.
Right.
You don't want to go up to a cop. You know he's got a gun, and you're not going to pick a fight with him.
And it's quicker. They don't have to move a jacket or a shirt to get to it.
And a lot of people say, well, open carry is kind of dangerous because they can take a gun. Well, all of our cops do it every single day. So, you know, there's training for that and everything else. So, again, open carry, you know, it's a bit of a misnomer because, again, most, you know, the other side will talk about people walking down Main Street with 6 shooters on their hips, and that's not what it's going to be about. But, you know, if I'm done hunting for the day and, you know, I don't feel like zipping the gun up in the case because I'm going to hunt a little bit on the way home and, you know, whatever the case may be, well, now I've got a gun, a deer rifle laying on my backseat of my pickup truck, you know, well, that's open carry now, you know, and it's like – that kind of stuff. That's
crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy. Nice. Now, the other thing about that is that, you know, just a little bit further quickly on the question that Nick asked, a concealed carry isn't good in a lot of places either. In fact, Tom Basenko, about 8 or 10 years ago, was going to a basketball game in San Francisco, and he was going to a basketball game, and even though he's a sheriff and he can carry a weapon, he was told he couldn't bring it in there. And he was told by the local police he couldn't take it in there. So really and truly, is your open carry, I mean, valid everywhere? Well, it's going to kind of depend, because there is such a thing as ordinances. And even though they may not be legal or lawful, they still are showing up as law because no one is contesting them. Anyway, Chris, we got about 5 minutes left, and I want you to, give us your best shot, pal.
Okay, well, like I say, fundraiser this next Saturday, that's the big one. I am collecting signatures right now. I don't really need that many more, but I want to get more. I want to get extra ones. So district lines have changed. So I tell you, you have to be in Cottonwood, Shingletown, Happy Valley now, or Anderson in order for me to collect your signature. I must have had a half dozen or more people say, oh, I'm in District 5, and come to find out they were on Airport Road, or they're down in Churn Creek Bottom, or they were out in Millville, and it's like, that's no longer District 5. We've moved the lines around. So, again, Happy Valley, Shingletown, Anderson, or Cottonwood, if you live there, I am collecting signatures. I need them in by Wednesday. I'm hoping to just get enough today that I can turn them in tomorrow, hopefully, and get that process out of the way. So, again, I'm a fiscal conservative. I am a social libertarian. If whatever you want to do, if it doesn't affect me or my children or other children, go do it. By all means, I don't care. That's the way I am. I mean, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You know, everybody do their own thing. If it doesn't affect anybody else, that's my social outlook on things. Fiscal conservative. I am tired of being taxed to death and then being told, well, there's no services, the roads are horrible, and by the way, that your car that got broken into, there's nothing we're going to do about it because the jail's full. So that's me in a nutshell, and a constitutionalist.
Yes, and so a jail would be something that's sounds like a bit of a priority to you.
Somehow there's got to be punishment for this crime. I mean, it's supposed to be crime and punishment. Right now it's just crime and crime. So,
crime and more crime.
Yeah, crime and more crime. And, you know, you guys just go back to work and give us some more tax dollars and deal with it because, that's your job, peons. So, and, you know, and just some of the things, I mean, you can have a fire in the middle of a dry field on a windy day in August, and as long as it's a warming fire, it's fine. Whoa. But lo and behold, my burn pile on my own property with my fire permit on a burn day, if it goes past 5 o'clock, well, and we know we're going to have to cite you. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, this is just, it's up is down and down is up, and it's just totally backwards from what it should be. We need to get it righted up again.
And that's abuse of power of some of these agencies as well. So we need to get that under control.
Absolutely.
That absolutely has to happen.
Yep. And again, that's one of my things I'd like to do is I want a reporting mechanism at every single county counter. The easiest way is put it at the bottom of the receipt. How was your experience? Go to this website. Yeah. Let us know how we did. You know, and a lot of them are going to be great. A lot of them are going to be, hey, you guys are fantastic. You know, you did a great job. You helped me. You told me something I didn't know. There's going to be a few departments that are nothing but nightmare stories, and each one of those reportings should go to each board of supervisor and the department head, and then you bring that department head and go, hey, we've got a problem.
We've got to fix this.
We've got a problem.
Chris Kellstrom, how do they get a hold of you, my friend, and how do people get behind you?
So I have a campaign phone. It's 530-744-4539. You can also go to chriskellstrom.com. I also have Facebook pages. I have an email, Kellstrom, the number 4, D-I-S-T, the number 5, at yahoo.com. So, or you can come see me next Saturday night at the VFW Hall. So I'll be the tall guy. You can't miss me. Head and shoulders above the rest.
What's the phone number again?
530-744-4539.
4539. Yes, sir. They can call that number and they can talk to you about getting tickets. And
whatnot. Now that is my campaign phone, so it's not one I carry every single day. It's usually right now it's out in my truck on the charger, but it does have voicemail. I will get to you. You can text me, whatever. So I just want to let you know that's not the one I carry every day. So if you call me and I don't answer, I'm not ignoring you. It's just I do have to, kind of have to compartmentalize. I still work full time and everything else. So.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, Chris. Chris Kellstrom, District 5. If you like what you heard, get behind the guy.
All right.
All right, brother.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.